Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a takeaway in Donegal was served a closure order last month as it was deemed to be posing an immediate danger to public health. The Taoiseach and the Defence Minister are being pressed for answers as to why it took so long to agree to request assistance from the Air Corps as a major gorse fire raged in West Donegal on Easter Monday. There are fears Lifeline in Inishowen may be forced to shut its doors due to a lack of government funding. And Councillor Jack Murray believes the most important decision made by newly elected representatives of the council will be to vote on funding Buncrana Leisure Centre. Stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, a takeaway in Donegal was issued with a closure order last month as it posed an immediate danger to public health, according to the Food Safety Authority of Ireland. In total, 7 takeaways, pubs and restaurants throughout the country were found to be in breach of food safety laws in April. Sewage and waste was seen overflowing from a drain close to the bins outside Spicy Hut on Main Street at Carrigard. Dr. Bernard Hegarty of the Food Safety Authority outlines the risk this poses.
Fecal matter could be transferred on the feet of the workers coming to and from the rear of the premises into the premises, which brings with it obvious food safety, dangerous pathogens present in that, which presents a risk of concern for contamination concern for the foods in the premises.
And a link to the full report is available on our website, highlandradio.com. The government was warned that going ahead with a national broadband plan may mean cancelling other large capital projects. The Department of Public Expenditure told the government not to proceed with a €3 billion plan. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe reports.
The documents are a pretty damning indictment of the National Broadband Plan and raise huge questions. The Department of Public Expenditure told ministers the €3 billion plan is not good value for money and is an unprecedented risk to the state. Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin raised the concerns that the state won't own any of the infrastructure after this investment.
Why is the state taking all of the risk?
While Sinn Féin's Mary Lou MacDonald says going against the advice of officials shows what ministers are really concerned about.
Now, on the eve of an election, your government pull what I can only describe as a cynical political stunt, a confidence trick.
But Communications Minister Richard Bruton defended the decision.
We've looked at all the alternatives. This is the best technology delivered at the cheapest cost with the minimum risk to the state.
Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue says he believes on balance it's the right call, but the department has warned that other big projects like social housing, building schools, as well as health and climate change projects may be delayed or even cancelled to find the money for broadband. Sean Defoe, Leinster House.
The Taoiseach and the Minister for Defence are being pressed to answer serious questions as to why it took so long to agree to request assistance from the Air Corps as a major gorse fire raged in West Donegal on Easter Monday. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says in the immediate aftermath of the fires, he wrote to the Taoiseach and Minister Paul Keogh questioning the timing and what lessons have been learned. However, he says in the absence of any answers, he has now posed the questions officially. Deputy Doherty says he absolutely accepts the Air Corps' explanation that it took time to source a crew and equip an aircraft, but his query relates to ministerial clearance for the preparation to begin.
I have no doubt that that is what happened as soon as authorisation was given. But it is my understanding, and I was talking, leaving messages with Paul Keogh that morning, talking to other ministers about the seriousness of the fire. I was there on the scene along with the hundreds of others of the local community trying to prevent the spread of the fire. I was giving updates as to the risk that was now taking place. And at a point in time after 12 o'clock, my understanding and the information that I was given was that there was still no authorisation, despite the request going in just after 9 o'clock that morning. That led, as we know, the Donegal County Council to put their hand in their own pocket and wisely hire in a private helicopter themselves. And it really was when the Air Corps came in just after 5 o'clock that evening that we started to get a grip with what was then escalating and a fire that was out of control.
Will you get the opportunity to perhaps move a topical motion on this in the Dáil to get the debate going? Because it's clear there needs to be a conversation here.
Yeah, without a doubt. And as you know, the Dáil is just resuming today, and I expected to have a response before now. These are simple questions that could have been answered. So I have placed down a number of questions formally in the Dáil schedule now, which means that the Minister will have no option but to answer very detailed questions as to when authorisation was given. We need to know if there was a delay here. Why would a government minister who has the responsibility of authorising the Air Corps to come into Donegal, why would he dither when people's property, when indeed people's lives were under serious jeopardy?
The Association of Garda Superintendents is calling for more armed support units to back up unarmed officers. It follows a call from the Garda Representative Association for ASUs to be located in every Garda division. The lack of a dedicated armed support unit in Donegal came into focus in January following the death of Jasmine McMonagall in an incident in Killigordon. Speaking at the conference, Association President Superintendent Noel Cunningham said more ASUs would reduce response times and de-escalate serious situations.
The armed response units are highly trained individuals, and they bring a lot to a situation. Obviously, they bring in a lethal response, but they also bring a non-lethal armed response. But they bring much more than that. They bring negotiation skills to a scene, and by their very presence, they can de-escalate a situation.
There are fears Lifeline in Inishowen may be forced to shut its doors due to a lack of government funding. A petition is to be presented to the Children's Minister in the coming weeks calling for urgent funding to be allocated for the domestic violence centre in Carndonagh. Last year, 46 women in the peninsula availed of the service. However, if the facility were forced to close, the closest service is almost 60 kilometres away in Letterkenny. Manager of Lifeline, Mary Doherty, hopes the petition can make some difference.
Petition to Dublin, we're not sure of the date yet. It's either the 23rd or the 30th of May to Minister Sapone. And we're just hoping and praying that that'll do have some sort of an impact on that they'll start to listen. This thing about centralising, wait a minute, have they never lived in a rural area? You know, it just doesn't make sense. And because Donegal is such a big county, that they haven't taken that on board, it affects their family, their friends, their, you know, there's all of that. Now, I just want to say, if there is anyone out there, please, please, know that we're available Monday to Friday, 10 to 1:30, and if another time suits them, that's fine. Mm. But that's when our helpline's open.
Meanwhile, an ongoing funding row between the rehab group and the HSE could severely impact families in Donegal. Talks are to take place over the next week in a bid to solve the fallout. Rehab, which currently offers services in Lifford and Donegal, says it will now serve a 12-month, it will not serve a 12-month notice of termination of its care services to the HSE tomorrow as planned, while the intensive discussions take place. More than 3,000 service users and their families could be impacted by such a move. Its Director of Communications and Public Affairs, Kathleen O'Meara, spoke earlier on today's 9 to Noon show.
We had no choice but to issue this notice. That was a decision which was very, very hard to take, very, very difficult to take, and one, you know, which was taken with very heavy hearts, because we know the concern and the anxiety, you know, that this is today causing to a lot of families and to the people who use our services. And I wanted this morning issue an assurance that we only did that because we absolutely had to.
The most important decision made by the newly elected representatives of Donegal County Council will be to vote on funding Buncrana Leisure Centre. That's the view of Councillor Jack Murray, who says the facility, which has been lying idle for several years, is very much an election issue. It's expected that a tender for the design of a new leisure centre is to be appointed by Donegal County Council shortly. However, Councillor Murray says that securing the match funding from the local authority must remain a top priority for the new council in order to get the project off the ground.
Leisure Centre is going out to tender. We know exactly how much it's going to cost, how much of a shortfall the council will need to step in and fund in order to get it back open. So once that comes back, the newly elected council, whoever the 37 members who have to be elected, will come together and we'll have to make a decision on whether to fund that shortfall. So I would hope that anybody putting themselves forward for election will give a commitment, particularly those in Inishowen, to vote to fund the shortfall from County Legislature and get it open ASAP.
Now, the last update you received from the council, they did say that significant discussions were taking place between themselves and the company. Surely it does mean that perhaps the matching funding will be in place in the very near future.
Yeah, I'm hopeful of that. This is something that I've been pushing quite strongly throughout the last 5 years as a councillor. When I was chairperson of the Inishowen Municipal District, to pull together the nine councillors in Inishowen with the Leisure Centre Committee there, and across party basis, the nine councillors agreed to support the funding shortfall. Then a number of months ago, I moved a motion in Lifford and got backing from the 37 councillors that we'd fund the necessary shortfall. So we've been progressing, albeit at a slow pace, and that's been frustrating, but the latest update I've got is that it will go out to tender. We'll know exactly how much is needed, and there will be a funding package put to the 37 members of Donegal County Council, who will then have the decision to decide whether or not to fund Mulcahy Leisure Centre.
Theresa May is standing by her commitment to resign as Prime Minister as she completes the first phase of the Brexit process. But after her withdrawal agreement was rejected by Parliament and little progress in reaching a deal with Labour, she's under growing pressure to leave office sooner than she'd planned. Conservative backbencher Andrea Jenkins called for her to go during Prime Minister's questions.
We have lost 1,300 hard-working councillors, and sadly the public no longer trust her to run the Brexit negotiations. Isn't it time to step aside and let someone new lead our party, our country and the negotiations?
A local election candidate has hit out at posters being erected at various scenic locations in Donegal. It's been claimed that large posters have been put up at a junction west of the county, which is obscuring the view of Errigal, while another has emerged on a Welcome to Donegal sign. In other instances, posters have been spotted on ESB poles and on speed limit signs. Seamus Rogers, a Labour candidate in the Glenties Municipal District, says the location of some posters shows a total disregard for public safety and the environment.
Plastic ties are deadly, and as well as that, of course, I take it that on ESB polls, I know that the ESB have issued their notice that they shouldn't be on ESB polls. You must remember, this could be dangerous to the people who put up the posters and to the ESB staff, who probably have to remove some of them as well.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure in Letterkenny, with the new Adidas Messi range now available, including jerseys, jackets, bottoms and boots. See in-store or online at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 13 minutes past five and time for the latest in sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We're going to start with soccer, and Tottenham defender Jan Vertonghen has been passed fit for tonight's Champions League semi-final second leg away to Ajax. The Belgium defender sustained a facial injury during last week's first leg defeat at White Hart Lane. Spurs trail tonight's host by a goal to nil heading into the fixture, which is an 8 o'clock start at the Johan Cruyff Arena. Liverpool, of course, await the winners in next month's final in Madrid. Tottenham captain Hugo Lloris says they still believe they can reach the final.
Try to put intensity in our performance, try to learn from the first leg, because we didn't make the game that we expected and we wanted. It's important to keep the belief, because everything is possible.
Chelsea are to take their appeal against their transfer ban to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. FIFA today upheld a ban against the club signing any senior players during the next two transfer windows. A Chelsea statement says they categorically refute the findings of the FIFA Appeal Committee, which agree they had broken rules over the signing of minors. The club hope that an appeal to CAS will at least see the ban frozen, allowing them to sign players this summer. Chelsea boss Mauricio Sarri says it will be very difficult for his side to challenge the likes of Liverpool and Manchester City next season if they can't sign any new players.
It's very difficult to cover the gap. Probably we need something from the market. So it's not easy, because the level of the top two is very, very high.
Paul McShane is leaving Reading. The former Republic of Ireland defender confirmed the end of his four-year tender with the Royals in an Instagram post. McShane has been hampered by injuries in recent season and only made five championship appearances in the season just ended. It was heartbreak today for St. Columba's College Stranorlers. They lost out on penalties in the FEA Schools Minor Boys Under 15 National Cup Final in Monaghan. The Ulster champions went down in a shootout to St. Aidan's CBS from Whitehall, Dublin. It was 1-1 at the end of normal and extra time. Callum Gillam levelled up the tie on 36 minutes to get Columba's back in the hunt. Aidan's would go on to lift the trophy, winning 4-2 on spot kicks. Donegal Youth League action continues tonight with five fixtures down for decision. Among them, the leaders Bunnaby United are on the road as they go to Cadhu Rovers. Drumkeen United to go on Letterkenny Rovers. Swilly Rovers are on the road as they head for Erin Wanderers. Lagan Harps have an away trip at Fannage United, and Gwydor United will host Milford United. Niamh Colum-Kill will not make any further appeal against the penalties imposed on the club for hosting an unauthorised event in February. The Newton Cunningham based side won an appeal against a proposed 8-week ban from all adult games last week, but instead received a €500 fine and a 12-week ban on adult games at their home venue. In a statement released this morning, the committee expressed their regret that the club was charged with a breach of rules and now considered the matter to be closed. Well, the Ulster Championship starts on Sunday with Tyrone hosting Derry in the preliminary round at Hayley Park in Omagh. It's been 13 years since Derry last beat Tyrone in Ulster. In the intervening time, the Oak Leaf men lost three championship ties to their neighbours. It's a second season at senior level for Damien McAuley as manager. He says their confidence in the group is high after their league success, but Sunday's game will be a huge step up for them.
That's a good start, but I suppose we've known about it since the draw was made, etc. Yes, it's a big challenge going to Omagh. We're there to try and perform as best we can, you know. Everybody's working hard. Obviously, a degree of confidence coming out of the league, where we are, realisation that we're stepping it up two or three levels, going to Omagh, you know. So, as you say, Tyrone All Ireland finalists last year, really strong side, really mature side at this stage in terms of understanding where they want to get as a team. So they have that advantage over us. So it's a big challenge for us, you know. There's no question about that, and you can't really talk around that. That's we're coming out of Division 4 there in Division 1. Really good side, and the challenges are real, you know.
Finally this evening in golf, European captain Patrick Harrington has reduced the number of picks from 4 to 3 for next year's Ryder Cup Golf Tournament. 9 players will earn automatic qualification for the team via points earned in competitions starting at September's European PGA Championship at Wentworth. Harrington's reasoning for the change is he feels a player is more comfortable when they've qualified rather than been picked. Well, on a Wednesday evening, as always, we'll have the GA programme with Tom Comack. That will throw in later tonight at 8:30, and I'll be back with the next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news.
Thanks, Oisin. And returning to some news, Anna Creashill's murder trial has heard her clothes were strewn across the room of the derelict building where her body was found in Dublin last May. Two teenage boys stand accused of murdering the 14-year-old schoolgirl, while one of them is also on trial for an alleged violent sexual assault. Our courts correspondent Frank Rinney has this report, which listeners may find distressing.
Anna Creashill was reported missing at 9 p.m. on May 14th last, a few hours after one of the two boys called for her at her home in Leixlip, County Kildare. It is the prosecution's case that this boy, known as Boy B, lured her to his friend and co-accused Boy A, knowing what was in store for her. He denies her murder. Boy A has also pleaded not guilty to the charge and denies a further charge of aggravated sexual assault. Today, the jurors have been hearing about the discovery of Anna's body at a derelict farmhouse in Lucan 3 days after she went missing. Sergeant Declan Birchall told the jurors her naked body was found lying on the floor of a small room. He said three of her fingers were inside a ligature around her neck. She appeared to be pulling it away from her, he added. Her clothes and broken phone were found in various parts of the room, as well as a blood-stained piece of timber and concrete block. Frank Graney, the Central Criminal Court.
Patients being discharged from Letterkenny University Hospital are once again urged to participate in the National Patient Experience Survey. The third survey is currently underway at the hospital, with an estimated 28,000 patients nationally eligible. Last year, 52% of eligible patients at Letterkenny University Hospital participated. Tracy O'Carroll, Senior Programme Manager for the National Patient Experience Survey, says on foot of previous surveys, improvements are already being made at the hospital.
The National Patient
patient experience survey is the largest healthcare survey in Ireland, and we invite up to 28,000 people across the country to participate in the survey. And last year in Letterkenny, we invited everyone who was over 16 years of age and spent 24 hours or more in Letterkenny to participate in the survey. And we will be doing the same again this year. And last year, we got a phenomenal 52% from Letterkenny University Hospital patients. So we're definitely hoping to get the same again. And I can assure you that Letterkenny are listening to their patients and that they're making changes as a result of what their patients are telling them.
And as you say, following previous surveys, improvements are underway at the hospital already.
Absolutely. I was just visiting them this morning and they were showing me their discharge lounge where Martin and his team are making sure that the medications, prescriptions, etc. are clear for patients to understand before they leave the hospital. They've ensured that people can drive up, family members can drive up easily to collect their patients so they won't have to, you know, park and, you know, have to go through all that hassle. They've also introduced a pack in the emergency department so that people can who don't expect to be staying overnight have a pack with a t-shirt and toothbrush, etc. to make it a little bit more comfortable for them.
And the closing date for submissions is 5 o'clock on July the 25th. And finally, one of the first of its kind, a drive-at-home anti-litter campaign has been launched today in West Donegal. The initiative aims to encourage people to drive their litter home rather than throw it out the car window. The campaign was launched today in Dunloe in conjunction with Donegal County Council, local schools and Tidy Town groups in the Rosses. Speaking ahead of the event, Nuala Bonner from Dunloe Tidy Towns Group says the idea was born out of the success of the Big Donegal Cleanup 2019.
This campaign is an initiative of the Tidy Towns groups in the Rosses. There's 7 Tidy Towns groups in the Rosses, and we had spent a lot of time over April as part of the Antashka National Cleanup and the Big Donegal Cleanup, cleaning up the areas. And a lot of the rubbish collected was rubbish that had come out of cars. So we didn't want all the work that we had done to go in vain. So we came together and decided to do this Drive at Home campaign. We have all the schools who are all very interested and going to take part in the launch this morning. Each child in the school is going to get a car sticker for their cars to promote campaign Drive at Home, taking the rubbish home.
And particularly in West Donegal, this is particularly relevant given the unspoiled nature of the scenery there.
Absolutely. You know, and when you're out along the roads cleaning up, it's very disheartening, and we have had huge cleanups this year, which really we wanted to do something just to try and not have to do this continually and try and get as much people as we can to take the rubbish home, to drive it home.
For weather now, staying cloudy and breezy for the rest of the day with some patchy outbreaks of rain. It will remain cloudy overnight with further patchy outbreaks of rain and lowest temperatures of 4 to 6 degrees in mostly moderate northeast to northerly winds. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a takeaway in Donegal was issued with a closure order last month as it posed an immediate danger to public health, according to the Food Safety Authority of Ireland. Sewage and waste was seen overflowing from a drain close to the bins outside Spicy Hut on Main Street at Carrigart. The Taoiseach and the Minister for Defence are being pressed to answer serious questions as to why it took so long to agree to request assistance from the Air Corps as a major gorse fire raged in West Donegal on Easter Monday. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says in the immediate aftermath of the fires, he wrote to the Taoiseach and Minister Paul Keogh questioning the timing and what lessons have been learned. There are fears Lifeline in Inishowen may be forced to shut its doors due to a lack of government funding. A petition is to be presented to the Children's Minister in the coming weeks calling for urgent funding to be allocated for the Domestic Violence Centre in Carndonagh. And the most important decision made by the newly elected representatives of Donegal County Council will be to vote on funding Buncrana Leisure Centre. That's the view of Councillor Jack Murray, who says the facility, which has been lying idle for several years, is very much an election issue. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening.
The
which notices for this Wednesday evening, the 8th of May. The death has taken place of Vincent McCloskey, 354 Glenshane Road, Cloddy, County Derry. He'll repose at his sister-in-law Bridget's residence at 356 Glenshane Road from 5:30 this evening. Funeral from there on Friday morning to St Patrick's Church, Cloddy, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Anna McShane, née O'Reilly, 266 Victoria Road, Brady, and formerly of Cavan. Her remains will repose at her home from 5:30 this evening. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:25 for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Clockcore, at 11 o'clock. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The death has occurred of Patsy Canan, Drumbo Lower, Stranorlar. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Stranorlar, followed by interment in Drumbo Cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has occurred of Edward Lee Grindle, Ballycramsey, Mallon and Belfast. Committal service at Mallon Presbyterian Church, Lag, on Friday afternoon at 2 o'clock. No flowers, please. The death has taken place of Catherine Elizabeth Kathleen Sayers, née Holland. Funeral from her late home at 37 Donibow Road, Donemana, tomorrow afternoon at 1:15, followed by service in Donemana Presbyterian Church at 2 o'clock. Burial afterwards in Mount Castle Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to Dunmanagh Presbyterian Church, care of Mr. William Colquhoun, 38 Castle Warren Road, Dunmanagh, County Tyrone. And the death has taken place of Kathleen Gill, Highbury, London, and formerly of Mahara Beg, Burnfoot. Her remains will repose at her sister Laura Gillespie's home at Mahara Beg, Burnfoot. Funeral on Friday morning, leaving at 10:15, going to St Murda's Church, Fawn, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Mater Hospital, Crumlin Road, Belfast, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors.